Good morning, beloved. I pray that you're all well and in good spirits on this fine Sunday morning. This is the fifth Sunday since we've been able to assemble together. And I believe we are seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. I believe that very soon we will be gathering again on Sunday morning to worship God together. And though we may still have to take certain precautions to ensure everyone's health and safety, I truly believe that we will be meeting together once again. All that being said, for today, we are still separated. I hope you read the bulletin article. It will help make this lesson more meaningful. Last week, we looked at the resurrection of Jesus and how that event helps give us hope for our own resurrection someday. Today, I want to consider with you what God has done for us in bringing Jesus back to heaven after his resurrection. Our text this morning is Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Dr. Luke wrote the book of Acts. He also wrote the Gospel of Luke, and Acts is simply a continuation of that gospel. So I want to start with Acts 1, verses 1 through 11. And then in a little while, we're going to look back at Luke chapter 24. So get both of those ready. Acts 1, beginning in verse 1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering, by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. What do you suppose the disciples were doing while Jesus was lying in the tomb? I'll tell you what they were doing. They were hiding in fear. After he appeared to them following his resurrection, do you think they were still confused and uncertain? Oh, yes. They were filled with joy that the Savior was alive and well, but they still failed to understand his mission. Notice again verse 6. It says, they ask him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And of course, the answer he gave in verse 7 and 8, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, but the Holy Spirit will reveal to you. You will receive power from heaven. And that part of that power was an understanding of God's word. And he goes on to say, you're going to be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So it's not about restoring the kingdom to Israel, but this shows they did not understand the spiritual nature of the mission of Jesus. They just didn't quite understand it. So then Jesus left them. While they looked at him, he was lifted up into the clouds and was gone. Were they shocked? Absolutely. Were they confused? Most certainly. Were they crying? I would be. But God is merciful, and he sent two angels to comfort these confused, upset disciples. Jesus will come back. Now, he's gone for now, but one day he will come back to take his people home. Now, to get a little bit more background, Luke wrote in Luke 24:44 through 53, the last chapter of this book, gospel, right at the end of the chapter, verse 44, then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was with you, still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. So Jesus is instructing his disciples. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Now that's important. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, talking about the Holy Spirit, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And then he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Now, this passage makes it sound like they had a full understanding, but it is in Acts 1 that they asked Jesus if he was going to restore the earthly kingdom to Israel, written by the same author. But when the Holy Spirit filled them on the day of Pentecost, then they did truly understand, and they were so very bold in proclaiming the Lord's message. Now, Jesus had already been speaking to them about his going away. They just weren't comprehending it. In John 14, verse 2 and 3, Jesus, in his famous let not your hearts be troubled passage, he says in verse 2 and 3, I go to prepare a place for you. I go. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Later in that same chapter in John 14, verse 19, a little while longer and the world will see me no more. But you will see me because I live, you will live also. And then in John 16:16, Jesus said, a little while and you will not see me. And again a little while and you will see me because I go to the Father. And then in verse 28 of John 16, I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. He had said he was going to leave. I don't know if the disciples or the apostles felt or believed that Jesus would always be on the earth with them, but he told them, I'm going away. So what does the ascension of Christ mean to us? Well, let me share a couple of things. One, Jesus is reigning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords at his Father's right hand right now. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20, and Acts chapter 2, and verse 33. He's reigning in heaven. We know that. He is at the Father's right hand. He was at the Father's right hand when Stephen was stoned to death, and Jesus was standing at his Father's right hand. We also understand that he is in the presence of the Father for us. Listen to Hebrews 9, beginning in verse 24. For Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Now watch, not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another, he then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once, at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. So not only do we have the promise of his leaving, but we have the promise of his return. And yet, while he's in heaven, he is in the presence of the Father for us. Number three, Jesus ascended to send the Holy Spirit. John 14, verse 26, John 7, 39, the whole chapter of Acts chapter 2. But John 16, verse 7, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." So we have the Holy Spirit coming, and thank God he did, because how else would we have the Scriptures today? How would we have the Bible if the Holy Spirit had not come? The Holy Spirit guided the apostles into all truth, and the Holy Spirit gave them boldness to proclaim his word wherever they went. Yes, I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit came, and so I'm thankful Jesus went back to heaven so that the Holy Spirit could come. So Jesus is reigning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords at his Father's right hand. He is in the presence of the Father for our sakes, for us. He ascended to heaven in order to send the Holy Spirit back. He now, number four, he serves as our mediator and high priest. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." And then as far as his high priest role, Hebrews 4, verse 14 through 16, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." The whole function of the high priest was to be able to be a mediator between the people of Israel and God. And that's the role that Jesus plays today for us. He is the one standing between us and God. He is the bridge that allows us to be with God. And then Jesus is ever living to make intercession for us. He intercedes for us. Not only is he our mediator, the bridge builder, the high priest, but he is also speaking to the Father on our behalf. In Hebrews 7:25, "Therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." Isn't that wonderful? He's ever living to make intercession for us. So Jesus is reigning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords at his Father's right hand. He is in the presence of the Father for our sakes. He ascended back to heaven in order to send the Holy Spirit. He presently serves as our mediator and our high priest. He is constantly living to make intercession for us. And finally, the ascension of Christ is a promise of our own journey to heaven someday. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 15 through 18, a very beloved passage of Scripture. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." My friends, we don't like being separated from our loved ones. You know that there was anxiety as the apostles were watching Jesus go up into the clouds. You know there was fear. You know there was a feeling of abandonment. You know it had to be there. And we don't like being separated from loved ones. We don't like saying goodbye. We don't like the uncertainty in our nation today. Things are just so uncertain, unsure, unstable. While Jesus was on the earth as the God-man, he was confined inside that human body, and he could only be in one place at a time. But now that he has gone back to the Father, the resurrected and glorified Christ is everywhere. Jesus left us with this promise. In Matthew 28, verse 20, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He also said in Hebrews 13, verse 5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So even when we are away from those we love, we're not alone. Our Lord is with us. And though he ascended into heaven, he did that so he could be with us every day, all the way. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for loving us, for hearing us, for allowing us to study your word and to offer worship and praise to you. Father, we pray our worship will be acceptable to you. We thank you so much for all your blessings. But today, we especially want to thank you for the gift of your Son, for his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and for his ascension back to heaven with the promise of his return to take us home one day. Father, we pray that you help us to be faithful to you. Help us to hang on and never give up, never to grow weary in well-doing, but to keep on serving you faithfully all the days of our life. Help us not to give in to fear and to doubt, to worry, anxiety, and dread, but to have faith and hope and trust in you. O Lord, forgive us of our sins and receive us to yourself when you're done with us here. Please bless our sick folks and our other loved ones that are dealing with hard and difficult times. Bless our nation and our world. And Father, we pray you deliver us from this the current situation, that you could allow things to stabilize once again and allow us to come back together as your church and worship you together. Lord, thank you so much for hearing our prayer. Your will be done. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless everyone. I hope you have a great day.